Yeah, okay. Okay, we will continue with our Dharma sharing for a while, huh? Because we still have time. Yesterday we finished we were at page 112, isn't it? Huh? Was it 112? Yes. Okay, I think we were at the end of part 2. Hence the reason why the Surangama states that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. The first seeing refers to mundane seeing via the condition arising mundane mind, whereas the second seeing refers to the direct seeing via the true mind, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. When cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, one must be diligent to do it continuously with full determination in order to be successful, and one must not be complacent. A good analogy, this one we finish, the primitive man making a fire by rubbing the stick against the rock. Okay. Then question 1, why do I experience heat which comes and goes during meditation? So I answered, whether heat arises or not is not so important, because the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first. Always have that understanding. That is to be in a stable state of relaxed inner awareness or mindfulness first. Then only can one meditate. Heat can be due to the environment that you are in or due to your yin and yang imbalance within your body. The key thing is just to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to be aware of everything that is arising and passing away during meditation. Just maintain a silent passive awareness. A silent passive awareness. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself via an awakening and not via thinking. Question 2. I can be very heedful and mindful when I'm here doing meditation in a very conducive environment. But when I'm in the midst of life, I can be very heedless. When I am in a very negative environment or situation, I can become deluded very fast. Then I started to blame myself and get angry with myself. Why? So I answered, this is normal. When you are in this present, tranquil, meditative environment, you will be naturally more peaceful and heedful. Everything appears so smooth sailing because it is a conditioned environment or the state of mind with no negativity to stir and test you. But when you are in the midst of life, you are usually less heedful. So when you are with somebody that you don't like or a weird and difficult person, then you are tested. During this moment, you have yet to develop the wisdom needed to calm yourself down. Then it's very likely that you will become unhappy via your heedless reaction to what they say and what they do. You will have to learn to confront or face all this negativity and difficulties or difficult life situation with wisdom to free your mind. That's why you must investigate into all this. That is how your reaction to sense experience, conditioned by your delusion, develop into very strong habitual tendency without you even becoming aware of them. Habitual tendency born of delusion are difficult to change or correct overnight. Silence your mind to investigate into their origination factor, so that you can later retrospectively reverse it. via wisdom after you have contemplated into it. That is, how this anger or fear arises in your mind, and then inquire, are they real? Is anger or fear really what you are? Apart from this mental state that come and go, it is of the nature. Is there a nature within which is unmoving and unchanging? All these are part of meditation. Your problem lies in your inability to recognize the fact that you are not what you think you are. You are not what your thinking or mundane mind tell you via your self-delusion. Your true nature within is already perfect and without any negativity or discrimination and convention. So don't blame yourself for being like so useless because you cling onto your form and mind, the so-called human being, as the you, the I, and the me, hence the delusion. Blaming and getting angry with yourself is of no use because it is a wrong view. The anger or fear that arises is not you, but only a conditioned state of mind that arises after you have reacted to what you see and what you hear and think via your own self-delusion, which is a wrong view. If you do not perceive whatever life situation that arises with negativity or wrong view, then you will not react and there will be no suffering. You will come to understand via your heedlessness, your heedfulness, that when things don't go your way, then you will react because you want things your way, which is against nature's law that governs all of life and existence. Hence, suffering will arise because you have your expectations that are not met and you are not able to understand that people are just the way they are. And this is a fact. This is part of the First Noble Truth, seven condition or reality of life and existence. When you have right view, anger, selfishness, and fear cease to be. As we all know, a deluded person will say and do deluded things. Likewise, an angry and violent person will do and say angry and violent things. You have to develop the wisdom via your meditation to just accept them for what they are. And then you will be peaceful. You only need to change and straighten your view to free your mind. This realization is wisdom. Hence the saying, wisdom frees, whereas delusion binds. So this is a very important check. 3.3. How do I overcome discrimination against a specific person? I answered, when you use your false thinking or condition arising discriminative thinking mind to see and perceive a specific person via your wrong view and opinion, born of your own mind's conditioning, then this discriminative perception will arise. The problem is your self-delusion that conditions you to deludedly cling onto your false thinking mind, leading to your inability to realize your true mind, to see things as they are via wisdom. Please refer to the 7th Surangama Sutta notes, dated 8 January 2013, for further explanation on this. Okay, next chapter. Chapter 34. Or lesson 34. Now, this verse for opening the sutta is very important. You listen. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So that's the reason why it's very rare. Hundreds of millions of aeons or so, you may not encounter. Reciting the above opening verse with great sincerity and faith is very important because it reminds us clearly of the following. Rare is birth as a human being. Rare is the opportunity of hearing the Dhamma. Dangerous is the delusion of mind. We are the analogy of the turtle's egg in the great ocean. In the Parinibbana Sutta, the Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in a vast ocean to explain how difficult it is to be reborn as a human being, and at the same time to have the chance of hearing the Dhamma. The Buddha says, suppose there is a turtle egg floating in the vast ocean. The turtle egg has an opening, the size of which is slightly larger than the head of a turtle, for the head of the turtle to pop into. There is a long life sea turtle in the ocean. Once every 100 years, this turtle comes up from the bottom of the ocean and pops its head into the ocean surface. And the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human being and to hear the Buddha Dhamma. That is, to be able to be born a human and having the chance to hear the Dhamma is just as hard as for the blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg on a vast ocean and let its head go through the hole of this turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore, so that you will not lose sight of the great opportunity. So that you will not lose sight of this great opportunity of already having the special condition to be a human being, and the great condition to hear the Dhamma, yet not taking it seriously, to diligently cultivate to awaken to it, is going to be a real waste. If one misses this window, it may be hundreds of millions of aeons later before one can have another such condition or opportunity. So this one is just for your encouragement and faith. Then 1.2, question 1. What is heedfulness or apamada? So this one is very easy. This one we have gone through. The importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless, and do strive on with heedfulness always. Then apamada is the silent mind in heedfulness, attentiveness, alertness, non-laxity, diligence, and vigilant. To develop the meditation to liberate the mind, apamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skilled mental state, and it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting words or last exaltation. The Buddha said, transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Therefore, do strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta. Below is the Apamada Sutta as translated by Tanisaro Bhikkhu. Now, this one I think is useful. I extracted it from the sutta. As Sarvati, as he was sitting on to one side, King Pasunandi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, is there, Lord, any one quality that keep both kinds of benefits secure? Benefit in this life and benefit in life to come. So this was the question asked by the king. Then the Buddha said, there is one quality, great king, that keeps both kinds of benefits secure. Benefit in this life and benefit in the life to come. But what, Lord, is that one quality? Then the Buddha replied, it is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprint of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of its great size. In the same way, heedfulness is the one quality that keeps both kind of benefits secure. Benefit in this life and benefit in lives to come. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further, for one who desires long life, health, beauty, heaven, and noble birth, lavish delight, one after another, the wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merit. So this shows to you how important heedfulness is. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefits, benefit in this life and benefit in life to come. By breaking through to your benefit, you are called enlightened, wise. To be mindful or in sati is to be in the state of release, inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing. To understand the truth and to see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful, and attentive without thought, then it is in sati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, thus developing the wisdom or panya, is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness. And when one is heedless, one is hardly aware and only merely conscious of life, because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, one totally miss out on life. One never really lives life, because one is preoccupied with one's thinking or thought process. Hence the heedlessness, while constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intention behind all our actions, speech, and thought processes. This will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path of right speech, right action, and right thought via following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right effort to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day, so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finally eradicated. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factor of the five hindrances of mind and three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion when they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experience. By understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching to test and witness the Four Noble Truths and the law of dependent origination or dwelling occurring within our own form of mind. Okay. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching to test, witness the Four Noble Truths and the law of dependent origination or dwelling occurring within our form and mind with every moment of mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to the wisdom or panya. When one is heedful and mindful in inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and it is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking. So it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thoughts, mental intention, emotion, etc., and fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movement, like the moving car, or our physical action and movement, etc. When mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different. Yet it can be aware of all of life's physical, mental, and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena without thought, and always heedful. When one's mind is not no longer preoccupy you all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity. And one can see very clearly. Just like the saying goes, this one I think I've shared. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thoughts, there are no evil roots. There is no fear, no selfishness, and emotion, or emotional negativity, etc. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. Yeah, then for more detail on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk. Okay, we stop here. 1.4. You can have your meditation now. I will give you about maybe 1 hour. 1 hour.